Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, November 4th. From Capitol coverage, state lawmakers are advancing five bills that they think will make Colorado schools safer. KVNF's Scott Franz has more.
The legislature's School Safety Committee wants to spend an additional $1.5 million next year to help train more teachers to spot mental health issues in their classrooms. Another bill would let students take days off for mental health reasons. Mary Liz Calloway is a parent who watched lawmakers debate the bills. She says she appreciates the steps they're taking, but she wants them to go further.
I want to see more action on guns and children's access to guns. I think that there is more that can be done and should be done, both in the legislature and with insurance, to make sure that gun owners are acting more responsibly than they have been.
The five bills that lawmakers advanced are now heading to the full legislature, which reconvenes in January. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
The Western Slope is home to one of the nation's rarest birds, the Gunnison sage grouse. KVNF's Jody Peterson has an update on how it's faring.
On October 31st, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service released a draft version of a plan for conserving the Gunnison sage grouse. The Gunnison sage grouse lives only in southwest Colorado and southeast Utah, with the vast majority of the birds found in the Gunnison Basin. The bird has been protected as threatened under the Endangered Species Act since 2014. Despite local efforts to help the species, its numbers have declined sharply, and only about 3,000 are left. Jessica Young, a professor of environment and sustainability at Western State University, has studied Gunnison sage grouse for 30 years. She describes what's happened to the bird's population recently.
First having the really severe drought in 2017 and 2018, and then the unbelievable winter for last year had a severe impact on the numbers of Gunnison sage grouse. The numbers this past year are less than 50% of numbers present when species was considered in need of ESA protection and listed.
The recovery plan is now open for public comment through the end of December. Its goal is to create five populations of grouse, numbering around 4,400 birds in total, so that the species can better survive catastrophes and changing environmental conditions. The Fish and Wildlife Service plans to trap grouse in the Gunnison Basin and release them in other areas, such as the San Miguel Basin, Pinyon Mesa in Mesa County, Crawford, and Monticello, Utah. Conservation groups say the plan is inadequate and that based on scientific studies, the minimum population should be much higher. Professor Young agrees.
The targets are too low, is the bottom line. Some science would suggest you have to have a minimum of 5,000 individuals within a species to consider it resilient and able to withstand extinction.
The groups also say recovery will require limiting the oil and gas drilling, development, and grazing, which harms the bird's habitat. The recovery plan also relies on collaboration with local governments and stock growers, and that's essential, says Dr. Young.
I don't believe we would have Gunnison sage grouse today if it wasn't for efforts from local landowners and stock growers and from county participants. It's vital that it continues underneath this recovery plan.
The Gunnison sage grouse is about two-thirds the size of its close relative, the greater sage grouse. For habitat, the bird needs large expanses of sagebrush, along with wetland and riparian areas. For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson.
This is from the Colorado News Connection. Last Thursday, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the Colorado Outdoor Recreation and Economy, or CORE, Act. Eric Galatis has more.
If the measure clears the Senate, CORE would safeguard roughly 400,000 acres of public lands in Colorado. Bradley Noon, a U.S. Army veteran who served in Afghanistan, supports CORE's goal of protecting important watersheds along the Eagle and Roaring Fork rivers, along with the National Historic Landscape designation of Camp Hale. The legislation was introduced in January, a result of decades of work between ranchers, sportsmen, small businesses, veterans, local officials, and outdoor recreation, water, and and energy groups. U.S. Senator Cory Gardner voiced concerns after CORE was passed without support from fellow Republican Congressman Scott Tipton, whose district would be affected. Gardner also said he would not block the measure when it arrives in the Senate. Two-thirds of Western Colorado voters support the CORE Act, according to a recent survey. Justin Cross, with Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, believes CORE would boost the state's outdoor recreation economy, which generated $62 billion and 500,000 jobs in 2017. Cross says the shared-use model for public lands means making room for recreation and notes 85% of federal lands are already open for agriculture and extraction.
So we're really talking about already a really small fraction of public lands being dedicated to recreational users. So I think it's pretty reasonable that we slowly expand that to have a better balance.
A 2018 poll found that 96% of Coloradans see the outdoor recreation industry as important to the state's economic future. The CORE Act would also protect the Thompson Divide from future oil and gas development and add recreational opportunities in the White River and San Juan National Forests. Support for this reporting was provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And please stay tuned to the KVNF Regional Newscast tomorrow for more on this story. And now from H2O Radio, the Trump administration intends to roll back restrictions on the coal industry.
I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
In an effort to breathe life into the declining coal industry, the Trump administration is expected to roll back more environmental protections.
Under Obama, the EPA issued rules meant to limit the amount of heavy metals like arsenic, lead, and mercury that gets into water supplies from the ash produced by burning coal.
Coal ash is left behind after a plant generates steam to turn turbines producing electricity. It has been dumped for years in holding ponds where it leaches into water supplies.
The New York Times reports that the move will weaken inspection and monitoring at coal plants, lower acceptable levels of toxic effluent, and delay the requirement that operators install new technology to protect water.
Despite Trump's promise to spark life into the coal industry, plants have been shutting down due to competition from natural gas and renewable energy. Analysts said that the administration's efforts would not stop coal's decline.
Environmental groups plan to challenge the rollbacks in court as soon as the EPA issues a final rule.
Finally today, we have this note from the Delta County Independent. The town of Paonia will consider rate increases to its water, sewer, and trash services at a November 4th special meeting. Proposed increases range from a 30-cent hike in monthly out-of-town residential and in-town commercial water rates to an across-the-board $5 increase to both in- and out-of-town monthly residential and commercial sewer fees. The proposal also includes an across-the-board $2 increase in trash collection fees. Mayor Charles Stewart suggested that all concerned citizens attend the November 4th meeting, scheduled to begin at 5 p.m. tonight at Town Hall. And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, November 4th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould.